He was exposed to Bob Knowledge for an almost continuous period of 2 weeks, and he made remarkable progress. It's a new kind of
disciple one to guru one. Disciple one to guru one.
Come in, guru. Can you hear me? I might like to add that the kind of progress we witnessed in the Mike Dyer phenomenon took place over a year. That's the
Yeah, Mike, what do you think of the rave reviews my show's getting? Your show, Bob? Well, when's your show on?
Well, my show's on Thursday mornings.
Well, mine's on Wednesday at midnight.
Every other Wednesday at midnight, Bob.
Yeah, the Church of the Subgenius.
With Mike Dyer.
And J.R. Bob Dobbs. Mike, some more rave reviews?
Yes, sure, Bob.
This is a lot, but where does this take us? How does this help begin?
I really get off of this. This is Bob. This is real radio.
Slowly, final backstage. And out there.
That's so right. There's no way that my work is going to be stopped.
The thing is, I'm the greatest artist alive today.
But believe that these disciples will be looking for the completed intensive overnight.
Composition.
Dave Rupo.
Bobby.
Work of Alma, and hear the desire for all the Alma.
Welcome back.
Not yet.
Yes. Aren't you back yet?
Bob is new yet.
Okay, sorry. One moment, please. Welcome back to Bob. A rainy, stormy, electrical night out there tonight, isn't it?
Well, it was a great journey, and I'm glad to be back. You know, from the side, Mike, the tanks, they look huge, you know. There was about 18, maybe 22, you know, those are the two numbers. There was about 18. And as I stood on the side there, I thought, this is rather intimidating. But I took a chance. I thought the world was ready for Bob, so I walked out into front one of those tanks. And the world was electrified. I stood there and I stared down that tank. You know what the interesting thing was? Once I was inside and in front of that tank, it was intimidated. It melted. It was like it went from Rush. You know, the Canadian group Rush, the power of that. Remember years ago, the power? And suddenly the tank became a little Anne Murray. Nothing to worry about at all. You know, just a little snowbird. And so I stood there and I said, the world is looking at the power of Bob now. We had it set up, the video cameras, and I stood there. We had our connections laid out through the media all around the world for to see Bob make his entrance, the solo electric autonomous Bob. So I stood there in front of those tanks, 18 to 22 of them. And you know what happened? You know what the real reason was? It was hyped by the media as a desperate attempt by one student or one little Bobby to express his individual autonomy in the face of the monstrous solar government maneuver.
Monstrous movements
by the solar government and Gorbachev. Well, I know the video showed me trundling up on the top of the tank, opening it up. You know who was in there? Lee Pang. I said, Lee, you missed the last meeting. You're not going to be much longer a member of the Secret Council tenant unless you get to the next one in 15 minutes. So?
22 minutes.
15, Doug. And I told Lee Pang, be there in 15 minutes. So the media misinterpreted my standing there and then being whisked off by friends as if, I've lived that long, so why not save me for another day? No, I was being whisked to the meeting, and I didn't want to interrupt the very orders I gave Lee Pang. So last, what happened? You saw Bob in China, right there.
Was it not 2 weeks ago, Bob, we were talking about events in China as they were unfolding, and we commented here on the Church of the Subgenius radio half hour plus a half hour that the events were being watched very closely. Was it here we're talking about how the coverage, the U.S. coverage specifically, you know, they were disappointed in events not unfolding as they should have with the violence, with the reaction against the people by the army. The bloodshed was
they
not...
They wanted more confrontation.
They wanted confrontation. That there were correspondents in the U.S. saying, well, events here are... kind of bland. There's not a lot happening.
They were unfolding in a very Orient way, so the
and I was explaining, I guess, why it was a different approach. Mm-hmm. But that does lead to a pattern I should lay down before, and I want to tell that person who's been leaving messages on my phone the last 24 hours, we've got them here. We're going to respond. These are important messages, and just hold on. Okay. Let me just update on China. You see, we know that they are going through at a mythic pace, myth meaning moving at the speed of light. Events are compressed. So we have the pattern in China where they had their JFK. You know, they're replaying the 60s, the American and Western European 60s. They had their JFK murdered almost 2 months ago. His name was Hu Yaobang, right? And it was the murder of their JFK that led to the protests and the free speech movement capsulized for about 2 weeks, then escalated and imploded into Woodstock. And, of course, since we were last on, Mike, we then made the next step past Woodstock. We had our Kent State, right? Everybody noticed that. Now, what happens after Kent State, which is at the point right now? Now, E. Howard Hunt and G. Gordon Liddy regarded the events after Kent State as civil war conditions. The pink media are talking about the potential for civil war, maybe even happening right now. But this is what was going on after Kent State. There were plans to assassinate Richard Nixon in San Diego at the Republican convention in 1972. John Lennon was suspected to be part of them, but then they moved it to Miami. Point is, the slight difference here is that Nixon was not shot. And then we had Watergate. That's how they got him out. Now, I don't think the Civil War will escalate to that level of Argentinian violence, let's say, or Chilean violence, or Middle East violence. I think the Chinese are so media ecological, they're negotiating a civil war. It's like barter. It's a violent form of barter. All right? So we will see a Watergating of Li Peng. You know, I mean, he did make the meeting last week when I asked him to be there, but of course I fooled him. The meeting was just to tell him what was going to happen. I said, buddy, your history. Li Peng, your history. So Li Peng will be Watergated, but the parallel processing of their culture with ours is amazingly synchronistic because he got shot in the leg last week.
Li Peng did.
Yeah. And during the Watergate hearings that are coming up for him, he will be hospitalized and worrying about leg injuries, just like Nixon had his phlebitis in the leg, rising phlebitis, after he was impeached, all right, or moved out. All right, now what's going to happen after Watergate? Let's say this process, we're talking JFK in April, and then we've gone almost 10 years in 6 weeks, so... We will get to a Carter. Let's say about July, August, there will be a new image for China, a Jimmy Carter, a holier-than-thou kind of Chinese reform liberal.
An ex-rice farmer.
Yes, somebody who worked in the Navy, worked for the Chinese Navy, mm-hmm. right, moved into nuclear materials. So we will see a Jimmy Carter image in China by the fall.
No Jerry Fords?
No. This is, see, we have to leap a few events. I mean, we didn't kill Hu Yaobang's brother, you know, or Malcolm X. They didn't have that. So we are leaping because it's a compressed mythic event. So after Jimmy Carter, we can look forward, say, by 1992, a raving Chinese nationalist, in other words, a Ronald Reagan. This guy who will become a Carter will be Iran-gated in the sense of 1980.
We also have to keep in perspective, I think it's 97, when Hong Kong...
Oh, no. That's you know what's happened to Hong Kong? The British are going to renege on that. They're going to get that back. And you know what? And then
I think that a lot of student unrest was a lot of these students wanted to begin preparations for becoming bankers or investment
yes.
brokers in Hong Kong, and they wanted some democratization so that they could maybe go to the West and learn how to...
Well, absolutely. They want computerized environment leading to electric autonomy.
Just let me split the mic between the two of you.
All right.
So,
right there. So if anybody wants to interrupt this tirade, the number is 595-1478. But let me just finish the pattern. We're seeing, I think the Chinese will become the most violent capitalists we've ever seen. I mean, even the Bible was paranoid about them 2,000 years ago and said the yellow race will take over at the last days, right? So I think we'll see the Chinese, their democracy is going to be a lot more violent than ours. It's going to be tribal. It's a participatory mystique. But leading to a very gung-ho Reagan image for the Chinese by 1992 because they're going to be threatened by it. The United Europe, they're going to be threatened by Japan. Now made a private business agreement with Iran. And don't forget the Queen. When the Queen comes to your country, there's trouble. And the Queen went to China 6 months ago, all right? And Lyndon LaRouche predicted that. He said, as a result of the Queen entering China, China will have a crisis and get into civil war. He predicted that 6 months ago. Not bad for LaRouche while he's on the way to jail. So I got it home in the documents, but the point is the Queen shows up. They want to get Hong Kong back. And you know what George Bush is going to do with it? He says, we'll go to war and support Britain if you don't give us Hong Kong because you are a naughty Nixon clone president with your Watergate in Kent State. And know what he'll say? And if you don't go along with that, we're going to take the Panama Canal back. They're going to cancel the Panama Treaty. So Noriega, been invisible for 6 weeks, he'll be back. All right? So look for Reagan image in China in 1992. Of course, totally controlled by me and part of my fantastic playwriting as the scenario of global theater events unfolds, leading to my amazing triumph, you know, which is going to be quite an orgasmic, anticlimactic, too. I mean, I know Baudrillard. I know that both triumph and dissolution and disaccumulation are the dominating parallel process of our time.
And that's our postmodern segment for tonight.
Yeah, thank you, Mike.
That's enough of that, I think.
Wait a minute, Croker. Croker came to town. I just want to tell you that his panic encyclopedia, of course, left out the major panic artists of our time. Of course, most of the holy offices of the solar government under me, chairman of the Secret Council 10, are the greatest panic artists. And I checked out the panic encyclopedia. They do not mention Mae Brussel, Lyndon LaRouche, Marsh McLuhan, Herbert W. Armstrong, Zappa. The Holy Office number 10. Cosmic Awareness, Finnegan's Wake. But look at that. What a paranoid way to put a title. Make your book in the 30s, Finnegan's Wake, a newspaper screaming headline. You know, that's what it is. It's a screaming headline, Finnegan's Wake. That's panic alarmism. And McLuhan, Finnegan's Wake, and any other, Garrett Dean. I think that's about it. Most of the panic holy offices I've sponsored here in CKLN were not included, so Croker has to be a judge de pink. All right? All right.
Final.
I think we should go to this character. I have very... Mike...
Let's call him Mr. X.
Yeah, now this person...
Bob, do we have a theme for tonight's show?
Oh, it's me, isn't it?
Well, it's always you, but like, you know, a couple of weeks ago we had a question. You know, we had a theme so our callers could interact...
So they can itemize their tapes at home.
Well,
we could take...
Democracy seems to be an ongoing theme. I mean, what is democracy, you know?
Bob-ox.
The Chinese wanting democracy, not knowing what they
democracy.
Want.
Democracy.
Well, I have a theme. I do have a theme.
Okay.
Quickly...
I think the theme's a good idea. That's
yeah. Here's the theme. Obviously, the Gutenberg medium, the Gutenberg press, made everybody a reader. And then Xerox came along in the 20th century, in the Marconi era, the Marconi galaxy. Xerox made everyone a publisher, starting in the 50s and 60s, right? Now, what's happening now? We have the effects, globally, of IBM making everybody an island. That's electric autonomy. Every individual on this planet is now under electric conditions, and their 400 slaves as media interpolated relationships are masters, slaves themselves, too, for everybody else. But in that slave and master relationship, electric autonomy favors a master sensibility, hence the incredible superiority complex that you meet in your average citizen today. You know, so IBM makes everybody an island, all right, with no connections between anything. Now, let's have a poll and a development of this theme. Could we have further proof from the pink and subgenius citizens of our show here to elaborate on this theme of IBM creating electric autonomy after Xerox made everybody a publisher and Gutenberg made everybody a reader?
So is each individual an island? And if so, or if not, why not?
How do they
not?
Feel it?
Yeah.
What's it feel like for them to be? They are an island, but how do they take the effects of it? You know, what are the panic problems they're suffering?
Marxist alienation is hope.
Oh, yeah. The collectivism is per se. That's what they mean by Chinese wanting democracy, mm-hmm. you know. No more collectivism. They want their island sensibility, okay. each one of them. And that's a billion people. Imagine that, a billion islands. Ooh. We're going to have a space race. We're going to have to go out into space for everybody to have an island.
It's almost time.
Yeah.
Well, let's just remind people that we are in Studio B for the Church of the Subgenius show every other Wednesday. And so it's a different phone number, 595-1478. And meanwhile, Bob, why don't we talk about Mr. X if someone calls, we'll interrupt.
Yeah, well, I want to play a tape of some messages I got. And I'm glad that Doug's here tonight because it relates directly to him. If this is not a person who we know, and it may sound like that person at first. If it's not that person, then we have somebody. We have a great response here, and I'm going to talk about him after. So, Mike, have you got the tape ready? It opens up with a quote from, what's his name, the guy in Nightline, Koppel. Okay, Koppel is talking to, Dan Rather, some journalist who's back from China. Put the pod up. It's a bit low, that part, and then put it down right at the end of that section. So this is Dan. This is Ted Koppel talking.
Clearly been a very traumatic few days for you, and I wonder if you can just sort of draw a word picture for us of what these past couple of days have been like and what the last few hours in Beijing were like.
Dateline China. The feeding frenzy for news junkies continues. But trouble looms. The demand for news is greatly exceeding the supply. Classical theory suggests that this will force the price of news up. But since there is very little chance the price of news is going up, it's pretty much fixed. The result is a substitute offering, namely an orgy of narcissism. The media interviewing itself about how it's attempting to do its job. A situation where the reporters lose contact with the newsmakers, forcing them to shift from matching to making rather than commit the ultimate media sin, dead air. Fallout is the shedding of any semblance of objectivity. Bob, where is the media ecology you promised? Bob, I'm mad. I'm taking my TV back. I want a refund. Bob, that's the last time I vote for you, buddy.
You mean you're not as involved with me right now?
I am, but I must say I'm attracted to what's going on down there. If the church is that lively down in Dallas, and I want a part of it, you know, you have to sway me back now.
What do you think of that?
Well, some good points raised in the first phone-in.
Excellent parodying mm-hmm. of Bob Dogma. that was one of the most brilliant little theses I've ever heard. Confrontation with Bob on my basic theme. I mean, he had the code words in there, matching, making, media ecology, mm-hmm. economic references, and screamed my name at the very end, sounding like Stang. He sounded like Stang. There's just a slight echo. Now, it could be George. But I think it's the first sounds like George, but then at the end it becomes someone else. And I think it's one of those people who voted at the Secret Council 10, one of the best vote comments. I can't remember what it was. But the key here, indicated by the second segment, is that's archival content, footage of us from January 88, a year and a half ago, when we were talking mm-hmm. about first contact with Reverend Stang setting up for the shout-out. That means, Mike, if this is not George and Tim who are the pro-Bob archivists, we have found the anti-archivists. We have found the man or woman who has some of that harmonic convergence stuff, the missing footage, and
the Michael impact.
The little Michael. Yeah. You know, let's hope that wasn't George. Maybe George can call in and confirm it, but the thing is, if that's not George, we have found this person has been archiving me. I mean, they know their archives. They went back and made it. See, he used what you said to express what he says. He's going back to Stang's church because he's dissatisfied with the concept of media ecology based on what he's seen.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is exciting. Now,
But to get your whole message across, don't you need a wider audience? Some people are turning off, Bob.
No. Yeah, which brings in you, Doug. Now, this is the thing is that Bob's homeopathic.
Mm-hmm.
The smaller and the tiniest audience Bob gets, the more powerful he is. All right, this is the point. That's why we can't build up too far. That's why we got to stay on CKLM. No offers. Bob will never go commercial.
That's why you have to stay on CKLM.
Yeah, you think I like working CKLM? This is a prison, but it's part of the evolution. You know what I mean?
Rattling your tin cup on the bar.
Yeah.
No, Doug, the point is that Doug commented. He liked the show sort of 2 weeks ago, but he told me privately. This is Doug right here beside me. And he told me that, and he's quite self-conscious about his role in relation to me because I have named him as my successor.
Mm-hmm.
And Doug said he is not inspired by my talk anymore. He's feeling he's heard it all. He knows. He understands it. What now, Bob? In other words, he's getting itchy like the Chinese students. He wants power. He wants Bob to go soon.
Oh, I don't think that's that far.
Oh, I know, Doug, but just for the effect of this story, okay? But we're acting here. This is playwriting, Doug.
Okay,
so the point is that Doug, I was thinking... after I got this message from this person, I said, actually, we now have someone who could be, with the spiel that person put on my phone machine, they're qualified to be a Bob. Mm-hmm. I think there was a lot of intelligence, a lot of good homework done there, and Doug has a competitor for a successor position. Mm-hmm. Just when Doug was feeling confident and demanding a, you know, raise and increase and all kinds of...
Slack perks.
A competitor shows up to put Doug back in his place. Doug, you're going to have to do your homework a little more to compete with this person.
I think I'm going to.
Yeah, because then the person, after he puts that great spiel on, and then he threatens with the second message to quit. I mean, he wants a raise immediately. This person knows they are qualified to be a successor to Bob, and I thought it was very interesting while I was mulling over the Doug problem and the Doug kind of Doug going on strike, is that, you know, Slack comes to Bob, his competitor shows up, gives me Slack, I now can play them off against each other, and I can rule. You know what I mean? I can continue complimenting and supplementing the super government work.
Play off your two horses.
Yeah, so Doug, and then right out of the blue, Doug calls up and says, Bob, I'm coming down, I want Connie's book. And says, oh boy, Doug's walking right into this trap, you know, we got stuff here to put Doug. He's going to regret that he told me that he was feeling superior, you know, a week or so ago. So that's the drama of Doug being here. And we ain't getting any phone calls, so we're going to go on to some other stuff.
I think people are just probably enraptured with what you're saying.
Yeah, so I think that this is hypnotic.
They're concerned about Doug. They'll probably start directing some questions to Doug tonight, too.
Yeah. Well, I'll take any questions that they can throw.
Yeah, you see, because you have to rehearse. You have to practice.
I have to rehearse, yes. See, that's the thing. I think I've been too long in rehearsal.
A little rusty. Yeah.
I usually perform with Bob and with Mike and within smaller audiences.
An interesting comment from that caller, Bob, about how the press... you know, with this whole event in China, are talking more about their difficulties in their hotel rooms, their inability to reach, to access, to set technology, their home base, and having to deal with the phones. I mean, Barbara Frum last night apologized because two of the interviews were coming via the phone lines, and they couldn't have those big...
So there's no pictures.
Yeah, you know, those big photos hanging over her shoulder. And her going,
I've seen Barbara Frum in person now.
Yeah, but we're seeing
through video.
We're seeing the real media mafia. The real mafia of our time, I mean, like CBC, is the media mafia. They expose the hardware mafias, like, you know, the local people in Toronto. Remember the great series 10 years ago I saw with Don and Andy back in Lonsdale? I saw Don and Andy. I saw the mafia connections. And
okay, let's go to our caller, Bob.
All right, you're on, baby.
Yeah, I'm ready to take a spanking.
Oh, no. It was George. Was that you, baby?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Those missing archives will just be missing for a little longer.
Well, George, it was understandable. The quality of it coming from you, your commendable response through the years as a sub-genius. You were even more featured on our promo. But I just thought that his voice changed. You did a pretty good change of voice there. And
well, I may have been acting as a medium. I could have been channeling something.
Yeah, I think of the inspiration of it. I mean, you wrote that out, didn't you? You rehearsed that.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And it was well said, Doug, whatever your name is, George. And I'd like to address, maybe while he's on the air, the theme he's making. He's saying, George, you're saying that media ecology is causing the disservice of the news making up stuff. But
I'm saying we're not getting the media ecology we've been promised.
By me?
Yes.
Well, don't you think, since Gorbachev...
You are a politician, and you are reneging on your promises to the rest of them.
Look. First of all, Gorbachev instituted that whole Chinese demonstration theater mania frenzy, right? Okay, Gorbachev is on the Secret Council of 10 with me. Now, he instituted that. So what is my program? My program is shut down the electric environment. The Chinese people did it first, all right? Gorbachev told them to do it. They turned off the media. Now, we're witnessing in the West the media going cold turkey.
Well,
yeah, cold turkey problems. I mean, they... have been addicted to the discarnate state being everywhere at once on the planet for 30 years, and we're seeing them faking that they have no coverage, right? Using that as the red herring to explain that they have to keep on, which is covering up the fact that they can't really turn off the media and go back to Noriega, go back to another story. Does that make any sense, George?
No.
No, it doesn't, does it? let's try again.
I think they are going through withdrawal because they have no pictures. They're having to rely on the phone, and then they're being... They just don't know how to handle not getting enough information. In the newspapers, they put little disclaimers saying these are written under security conditions.
Now, what are they missing?
The number one point here is that the Chinese are not turning off the electric environment. They are openly and deliberately acting for it. They're, you know, begging the reporters on the street, get the story out.
No, those are the Gorbachev agents.
Oh, I see.
Okay, now, wait a minute. A
lot of those.
Yeah, let's go back to the problem of this telephone stuff. The Chinese were being kind to the cold turkey media here in the West. They said, look, you can still use acoustic space, but our visual bias here in the West means that we demand pictures. That's our own Western bias coming out. We don't understand being discarnate via telephone. It doesn't satisfy us unless we have visual fill-in. So, therefore, these people are getting... They are not being totally cut off with the telephone content, but they feel cut off because they're a visual culture. And the Chinese know how drastic this is going to be via Gorbachev turning the media off like they're doing. So they said, well, at least we'll be an anesthetic like music is and give them a little acoustic space via the telephone. But we can't take it. And that's where the East and West are incompatible.
They're mixing a hot medium and a cool medium there. That's a dangerous mixture.
Well, that's our daily diet, George. It's
Telephone is radio, and television is, you know, the moving picture, and they're putting up static images, and they've got this this hot medium trying to come through over a cold medium. That's very dangerous.
It's like a speedball.
Well, it's dangerous for us, George.
Yes.
Not for them.
Yes. Well, we're having to go through a lot of things, you know, like. Consider the plight of a poor subgenius who turns into the Journal and they find Alan Abel, the well-known baseball authority, grappling with thorny issues such as why the Chinese haven't pulled the plug on him. You know, imagine the existential contortions his poor mind is going through as it considers why his electric umbilical cord hasn't been cut.
Tomorrow night on the Journal, the whole episode seems, they said, was going to be on how the stories are getting out and how news is getting in.
Oh, yeah, they're reporting on themselves how they do their job. It's total narcissism.
It's like writing your own progress report. I did a good job today.
But see, that comes to our theme, is that the nature of electric autonomy under island computerized conditions and satellite mixed corporate media is that we feed on our own myth. We're seeing the media feed on themselves, which is what they've always done. It's just that they don't think they're doing a good job because they don't supply the visual fill-in. So you're seeing, it's always been narcissistic, George. That's where I would disagree with some of the points you made in your manifesto.
Well, I was waiting for a point of disagreement.
Yeah, that's necessary for dialectical dialogue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think my point is valid, or can you come up with another disagreement?
I'm sure I could come up with a disagreement.
Yeah, why bother, right?
Why bother?
Yeah, let's merge. Let's have consensus here. I want to point something out to you, George, and Doug, and Mike, and Don, and Andy, who are listening tonight. The key point
Are there any other listeners, Bob?
I hope not. We don't want too many, George.
This is a living room discussion.
Yeah.
10 to 12 tops.
As little Michael once brought up, the private becoming public and the public becoming private the night Connie phoned in. You know, that's what little Michael noticed. We never really got to challenge that topic. But the interesting thing about Bob, George, and I'm glad
George
it was
Bob?
You.
Yeah, Bob George.
Yeah, this, what was the name of the group?
George.
Who was that?
That's a song on the new
the Prince.
Prince.
The Prince Black album, right?
Yeah,
Bob
so
George.
I bought that today on CD.
Yeah, it's a little synchronicity. But the thing is, George, I'm glad that you are the archivist and not this other person, because that means that we would have a bigger audience than we imagined. But listen to this, George. Bob, B-O-B. B is the second letter. O is the 15th letter in the alphabet, all right? So O is 15, two B's. 15 and 4 is 19, right? So the number, even Stang knew that and put in his book, the number for Bob is 19. Now, I just want to show you how the amazing resonance with me is happening since I won the election on March 3rd, 1988 at the Secret Council 10. The Chinese students are waking up the archetype of the May 4th movement of 1919, Sun Yat-sen's revolution, all right?
Now, 1919, they're really rubbing it in. That's why they've been able to dominate the top 10 in news.
You have to take credit for the Winnipeg general strike then, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's where Croker came from, Winnipeg. And so did Jim Patterson. Jim is an amazing sub-genius. He's writing about my biography. And he'll do it to counter any effect Croker had on him as a professor, I think, out in Winnipeg. But the point is, you get 1919 Sun Yat-sen. And that's brought back as a democratic archetype for the students. But also, Frank Zappa is participating in the Quit Aid, Dave Thomas, Bob Marsh, Bob Dobbs, media ecology move of turning off the media. Frank Zappa has quit the music business 19 years after he met me. Okay? So let's just remember the number 19, my first address when I was a little one, you know, many, many decades ago. Back to you, George. That's just what I had to feed in there. Response? Do you think you should get off the line and let someone else? Listen, George.
I'm definitely hogging it here.
Yeah, well, what we suggest, George, you get off the line since you know, this 19 theme has thrown you and you don't know what
is
to talk
call
about.
Is waiting light going?
Yeah, and the point is, if we don't get any more calls, would you call back?
Yeah.
I mean, we're getting used to this dialogue, and if we haven't got anybody, call back in a, you know, a little while, check it out.
Okay, just put some filler in for now, Bob.
Yeah, meanwhile, get your high weirdness chart out. We've got to check out...
In lieu of the China, we talked about this the last time we were together.
Yeah.
And it was something my roommate was... and I were talking about, it had to do with the university students in China. Now, the big problem with, not a big problem, or as far as the government's concerned, that these students are causing a lot of problems. The reason is, as we said, they want to become investment bankers in Hong Kong. They're going to be aggressive, deadly capitalists and beat us at our own game.
Like the guy on Wall Street.
Yeah, but the reason they've got, most of them have got that way is because the leaders in China let them come to the West. Canada, United States, England, Germany, wherever, and have let them go to university. Now they've gone back. At the same time, Chinese invite students from third world countries, predominantly Africans. You remember about a year ago, big problems in China with the Chinese students attacking some of the Africans.
Yeah.
The Africans were stealing their girlfriends. Now, so you, and then you have...
That's a 60s replay there. Leroy Jones, Eldridge Cleaver.
Okay, so you got...
They killed
them.
Then
you got university students or people in their, late teens, late teens to late 20s, people such as myself and George who go to the East or to Africa to find the wisdom there. So we have a very vicious triangle with the Chinese learning from us or learning from parts of our society going back and forcing it, and us going to Africa and the Africans going to China and coming back and starting up little Ethiopias and Ghana.
Yeah.
So everyone is taking one step. We're going east. The Africans, Asians are going north.
And the Chinese are going west. Now, this was predicted.
So we're going to have to reset our compasses, Bob.
Well, this is all Bob knowledge, because this was predicted in Finnegan's Wake, where he said the west shall shake the east awake, and ye shall have the night for morn. Now, this thing, Doug, though, of the... See, basically, under electric autonomous conditions... Under computer electric...
Are we trying to get a balance? We're trying...
No, let me... I'm going to answer that. Okay. Under electric computerized conditions, we are all discarnate. Mm-hmm. Our bodies do not contain us anymore.
No.
All right? But it is very claustrophobic for the average being to be suddenly electrified. So we're screaming to get into the other guy's skin,
mm-hmm.
other male or female skin or insect or animal. We are putting on any other form as possible. Now, what's interesting, that's the private individual. What's happening with cultures? Whole cultures are trying to get under other cultures' skin.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the...
the New Age movement here.
No, they're so trivial. They don't understand even... I mean, they're worshipping the Indians and native rights and things that are puny little cultures, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are going east. That's just their latest mm-hmm. version of going east or going Gnostic or going into meditative states. I mean, we had the Tibetans here. The Tibetans who were chanting here on Sunday, that's a puny operation compared to the collective effect of electricity. As a matter of fact, those Tibetans represent the Tibetan culture, and they're not here to communicate and match with you. They're here as warfare. They're here to hoike up their culture.
But they started using electronics.
Oh, yeah, well, they have to. But that's why, you know, it's hypocritical. They undermine their own previous mm-hmm. tradition with the new technology they use. But we have to be sympathetic to what they're doing, just like we're doing. Every culture is engaged in macroscopic communication.
with every other culture, mm-hmm. so that we are all leaping inside each other to hijack the Trojan horse phenomenon. We're leaping, going into the East to hijack the East. They're leaping into the West or going South to hijack that to prop up their own previous cultural traditions.
We're already there.
Yeah, well, this is a mixed media situation which will not be solved in any visual, acoustic, or dancing forms of expression. And great, we have a call, I hope. We can just relieve what I'm saying, but...
Hello?
Oh, the pseudo-exist. This is intergalactic communication. Anything to say?
We traveled east.
East?
We traveled east again.
Oh, that is skillful. Oh, that was short.
Short message.
Yeah. Was that the pseudo-exis? It's hard to tell whether that was the pseudo-exis. We've been having intergalactic communication in the last mm-hmm. few months. But this idea of whole cultures jumping inside each other's cultures is a... As a reflex, this comes to another theme, as a reflex response to the fact that media themselves, as technological environments, are leaping inside each other. I mean, music on TV, video mm-hmm. video rock. Let me just get a doc.
Talking books.
Yeah, talking books. Just get out this secret document. I'm going to give a quote which gets into the illustration of what we're talking about here. This is, we got more stuff, Mike?
We traveled east.
This might be crazy, isn't it?
Bob.
Yes?
Bob. We traveled east.
And did you come back?
We're going to stay.
In other words, you don't have to leave Toronto because you're knowing this is east now.
No buses go to my end of the neighborhood.
End is a linear visual concept. There's no ends or middles or betweens in acoustic space under electric conditions. So that's why no buses, you're right, no buses could travel to where you are. Perfect statement he made. Yes, no bus is going to his end. It's impossible, right? If you understand what I'm saying and agree, you do.
And besides, all the interference coming from the Dome Stadium has blocked our transmissions for the last 2 months. We figured out a way by demultiplexing, and we went east.
Oh, this is the extra pseudo-exis. So that is why there was difficulty in reception, because of the pre-Dome preparations.
And you should be very careful of the huge microwave transmitter standing right beside it.
Yeah, that's for zapping any incoming nuclear warheads?
What is going to happen is all of the rich elite will be able to huddle together in the dome when the first strike comes.
Oh, a fallout shelter, yeah.
The only thing that can take down the dome is a direct hit, and that's going to be prevented by a microwave blast coming from the top of the...
Oh, this is secret knowledge. We have to thank the pseudo-exis for bringing us up to date in the real hidden ground meaning of the language of the dome. What is the meaning of the architecture of the CN Tower beside the dome? Amazing percept there.
Perhaps we should talk a little bit about the sculpture and the significance of the sculptures on the dome, the Michael Snow pieces.
Oh, yeah, you're just trying to get their goat. Yeah. What do you say about Michael Snow now? Is he relevant anymore now that you can speak English to us? Was he... That's very close to what you said earlier. Not more forceful, though. What do you think of the problem that communication is a miracle but not impossible? What do you make of that, Mr. Pseudo-exis from north of Booties?
I don't think I can answer that one.
Are you going to be able to communicate clearly from now on?
In fact, I sort of feel that pull again.
Do you think D-O-M-E adds up to 19?
We're
losing
I it. Threw him. I think I threw him with the number.
What? We're losing these.
Okay.
I think we're just...
I think we're going to have to drop this person.
just fading
good,
out there.
Good, good,
good. Good contact tonight.
Yeah.
Mr. Ruxus.
That explains the reception problems for the last 2 months since they first made contact. Well, I'm glad the dome has been completed, and so we now have clear communication with a more responsible architecture of the solar government, the pseudo-axis. They are the hidden architecture of our time.
Perhaps we should reiterate tonight's theme as well, just so we can follow through on it. Although we're not really staying with the theme, we could just throw it out.
I have a way of doing it. Okay. Talking about macroscopic gesticulation and communication between cultures and media, we come to the situations where technologies would seem to be the pushing of the archetypal forms of the unconscious out into social consciousness. May this not help explain why technology as environment is typically unconscious? Now dig this. The interplay between environmental and content factors between old and new technology seems to obtain in all fields whatever. All technologies are collective unconscious. All art, science, and philosophy are anti-environmental controls that are ever merging into the environmental and losing their power to create awareness of environment. When arts fail to cope with the environment by being anti-environment, when they fail to do that, Doug, then there can be a shift to a rapid succession of innovations as ersatz or fake anti-environments. Now, what that means, Mike and Doug, that if there is a shift to a rapid succession of innovations, that means whole cultures offering themselves in transformation mode, the revolution in any form, and through all the cultures, from Poland to England to Thatcher to Reagan to Africa to Cuba to Vietnam to China, all these are cultural gesticulations and communications offering themselves as anti-environment. But because it's an ersatz anti-environment, in other words, you can't be an anti-environment under Bob conditions, we are united since I won the electric election, right? Then that's why revolutions like this in China will have such a short lifespan, because the ersatz anti-environment phase is very short.
Now, Bob, let's go to the phones.
Oh, we have more communication. Yeah. Good.
Go ahead, Colin.
Hello?
Hi.
Yeah, this is way, way, way off topic. It's getting back to the difference between acoustic space and visual space.
Oh, thank you.
If visual space is obsolete, how come kaleidoscopes are so much fun?
Oh, kaleidoscopes are in color. Color is a tactile medium. Visual space is not color photography. Visual space is the alphabet. It's abstract. It's black and white. All right? If you're misunderstanding, visual space disappeared a long time ago when the photograph came in, and then the movie and, of course, television. Now, does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, so your point was, no, what was your question again?
The question was, how come kaleidoscopes are so much fun?
Because kaleidoscopes is light through. You see, with the alphabet and the Gutenberg galaxy of print, light was reflected off the page to the user, all right?
Okay.
Once we had the electro environment, we had light through, all right, like a stained glass window. The popular... I like, this is that guy who giggles when I make insights. Yeah, you've been in there before. You're a good subgenius. I like you. You giggle at the right point, because when laughter is a sign of learning. When people are learning something, they laugh. All right? They reconcile the yes and no in themselves. It comes out into an insight, a paradigm, a pattern recognition. But the kaleidoscope is like the stained glass window, and the psychedelic era the kaleidoscope is associated with is the era of television and light through. All right?
Yeah.
Stained glass window. So the kaleidoscope is a colorful stained glass light-through phenomenon, very puny compared to the light-through effect you get on LSD or other drugs. You know what I mean? Other hallucinogenic drugs. But when you're not using drugs or taking a break, the kaleidoscope will remind you of that light-through colorful experience, color being a tactile. In other words, pre-literate cultures have very colorful costumes and clothing. All right?
Okay.
And the alphabetic man, the print man of 100, 200 years ago in the West, was a very bland kind of anemic form of cultural clothing. So that's pretty clear. I think I made it clear. You've learned something tonight from that.
Okay, well, do you think a kaleidoscope would be a good medium for the media to use in the East-West picture here?
As a metaphor, you mean as a symbolic, like quoting the native cultures, like a bob pipe,
yeah.
You know, like a pipe to hang around, hand around?
Uh-huh.
I'll accept that.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I suspect you've been doing some espionage in our Secret Council 10 meetings. It's actually what we use. Are you with me or against me?
Oh, well, that's to be
decided.
That's a future question.
Yeah, in other words, you've just told me that you're watching me. You knew we used the Bob Pipe as Kaleidoscope at our Secret Council meeting, didn't you?
Oh, you told me that just now. I just raised the question.
Yeah, but I think you knew that. Yeah, you're playing pink. Okay, baby. We're watching you. You're watching me. That's the way it is under electric conditions. Remember, we're still islands, though, right?
Oh, okay.
You know, you're an island. I'm an island.
All right.
No connections.
Thanks very much, caller.
Good night. Just espionage. Excellent caller.
Okay, good. We had another call on the line while he was on, so we'll hopefully that caller will phone back. We can move on. We're in the last 15 minutes or so, Bob.
Come on, Mike. I've had some requests for the show to go longer, Mike.
That's very good, Bob.
A lot of people don't like this cassette stuff interfering with the high-intensity
reach,
but
too bad, isn't it?
Yeah, see, Mike.
595-1478 is the number. We're in Studio B tonight for the Church of the Subgenius.
Mike is the lead peng of CKLN at this point. He's holding out. He's not transforming with Bob, the little student.
I don't think that's nice to call him like that.
Look, Doug, you're the one who told me this, all right? We got a caller?
Yes, we do. Go ahead, caller.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
CKLN, hello?
Hi, is this the show that has that tape from Chicago?
The tape from Chicago? No.
Oh, you mean Sherman Skolnick?
Oh, Sherman Skolnick.
Yeah.
Oh, this is, yeah. Well,
yeah that's on at 2 o'clock on Penn Carey's show.
2 o'clock tonight?
Yeah, every 2 weeks when I'm on, we bring the Skolnick in, and Kent's kind enough to put it out.
How many tapes are you going to put on tonight?
That, and which is about 5 minutes, is a good one on the IRS, and then we'll be probably playing some Evergreens readings later on.
Okay, because I find that stuff interesting. Do you have his phone number, or I guess I'll listen after 2 o'clock?
No, I'll give it to you right now. It's 312-731-1100.
731-1100.
Yeah, call any time. It's computerized. If you call in and the message is already in progress, the computer knows you didn't hear the beginning and will give you the beginning. Sherman Skolnick is one of the holy offices.
And is there a number like that in Toronto for, like, Toronto events and so on?
Oh, no. Just my show right here. Mm-hmm. Or 657-8040, but usually that's just to leave information for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't usually get back unless you need unless you leave your phone number.
Okay.
All right, so thanks for networking with us.
I'm networking.
You're not working?
CKLN
88.1. Thanks very much for the plug. Okay.
He's not working. He's unemployed. Okay, Mike.
Okay, so a little plug for Pent Carey's show coming up at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, that's useful. I mean, Bob's always trying to be a useful medium at the same time as offering percepts. So what do you think of this idea? Rapid succession of innovations as air sets and environments. That's why people like the YYZ Gallery, the Grace Hopper Gallery, whatever it is, that these people are going to be done away with. Art is really suffering. Movies are suffering. It's all welfare culture now. The only culture left is free, and that's me, Bob. I give pattern recognition. I'm mythic. And that brings to another point.
Okay, Bob, want to go over another caller if I could?
Oh, okay.
Church of the Subgenius show, are we an island? Are you an island?